We're going to just finish up the chapter tonight. This whole chapter is about, it starts off, therefore, present yourself as living sacrifice, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. The argument is this, that Paul puts forth. He said, now listen, group. It is really, really critical if you are honest about what Jesus Christ has done for you. You are headed to hell except for him. And if you're one of his, he saved you. And you ought to be so grateful for that, that it just changes the way you live, the way you approach life, the way you interact, every aspect. Unfortunately, that is not true. It is true that that's what he wants, but it is not true that his people live that way. Many people are somewhat grateful, but then they seem to go about their own life and live for themselves again. We have been bought with a price, and it's not supposed to be that way. We are getting into a time in history, I'm certain. Like I said, I love reading history and transitions of cultures and that sort of thing. I really didn't expect to be living in one of those time changes, but I am, and so are you. This thing is building in a very significant way. Things are happening now that are quite stunning. As an example, reality check. Recognize that face? Well, he's the man that came into work after trying to evangelize people for Islam and got frustrated and walked up to a woman and sliced her head off in Oklahoma. Stabbed another woman. Then by the grace of God, the chief executive officer, no, operating officer, also carried a gun and he shot him. Because the police weren't there for quite some time after that. But think about that. That's in America. Would you have thought that? That's a picture of something that happened, and that was at September 25th and October 22nd. That's a picture of a downed soldier who was shot by another radical Islam follower in Canada. Shot and killed. Well, we got too far. It doesn't want to stay there. There we go. This is on the 23rd, one day later. You recognize, what are we, the 29th? This is like right now. Guy is converted to Islam and grabs a hatchet and goes out and sees some cops and decided that he was going to chop on them. We live in an extremely violent day. You know, it really is stunning. You know, you read on this stuff. One thing that's fascinating, they're talking about radical Islam all around the world, and then they come back and they say, and one of the things that is really increasing now is the fact that countries like America and Great Britain are supplying the soldiers for the war. 40 of the stated, our government states that some like 300 soldiers were recruited out of America. 40 of them came from one mosque in northeast Minneapolis. I suspect there's way more than 300, by the way, if one mosque got 40. I can't believe that's the only mosque that just in the others, 2,000 of them could only come up with another 260. That doesn't seem logical. But my point is, this is a stunning day. Right here on Fremont, somebody was walking along. This was the afternoon, not this afternoon, but three days ago, I think it was, just walking along down the sidewalk, and someone else came up behind him and stabbed him. Didn't rob him, just like the stab on him. Nice thought, huh? You know, we're living in a wicked and violent day. And what happened yesterday? A son comes home, apparently gets upset. Now, it may prove that he's radical Islam too. But he comes home, finds his mom of, I think, 60, and cuts her head off, drags her body onto the street, throws the mom's head on the side of the street, and then walks ahead to the train and jumps in front of a train and kills himself. Satan is having his way in our culture. In America, and particularly in our neighborhood. Radical Islam in America. I just want to rifle through some things just so we're up to date here. Many Americans seem to think that ISIS is focusing on the Mideast. And they talk about it. Wow, they're really trying to set up a country over there. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We talk in that terms that they're trying to set up a country. They only talk in terms that they're coming here. Muslim population has tripled since 2001. In 2001, from 1,209 mosques, at the end of 2000, there was 2,100. That's 73 or something like that percent increase in 10 years of the mosques. There's not that many increases in churches, let me tell you that. Muslims are the second largest group, and I capitalize this, illegal immigrants in the New York State. You know, you say, well, it's not right to really guard our borders. I mean, that would be discriminatory if we, you know, put up borders and didn't allow people in. You know, we have so lost control. Nobody knows for sure how many Muslims are in the United States. We do know this. It's estimated between 4 and 9 million, but their population is growing faster than any other group in America. We know this because one of the things we know from a family that we have had a lot of involvement with, he has married 4 ladies in the mosque, none of them publicly, not, you know, in our system, not registered. They're all single moms living off the welfare and having children. And our government is paying for it. We're paying for it. And they are married in the mosque so that they can follow their religion. This thing doesn't have, if you just track this very far, this is not a good outcome. Our Border Patrol confirms, this is I'm talking about, the U.S. government Border Patrol confirms that people from Iraq, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, China, North Korea. Now think about those countries. You think they may not include all the best friends? You think these are friends coming in? I don't think so. These are the ones we caught, by the way. Have been intercepted trying to cross the southern border illegally. This does not bode well. They have, I took this quote, may not be the best one, but this quote is really saying, one thing we need to understand about Islam is a whole lot more than a religion. It is about a system of government and control, and it's about putting in place Sharia law. And Sharia law is very rigid and very, 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 very biased in certain ways and against certain people. We need to be prepared. Now, I'm doing this in the context, I'm running out of time here, but in the context, we need to be able to talk about how does the Bible compare to the Quran? Because we do talk to people that haven't been radicalized yet, but they're getting radicalized at a stunning rate. Absolutely stunning rate. If you look at the Pew surveys, where it was like 15% were radical, now in many, many big countries in the world, it's up to 60 and 70% are radicalized now. And they are large populations. And they want to kill us. Just for what it is. You got 3 choices. Convert, submit totally and pay a tax, or die. Not real good options. But we need to recognize that we need to be able to talk about the difference between the Quran and the Bible so that we can help those that haven't been radicalized so they can understand there is a big difference. Most of the Muslims that I have spoken with have no clue what the Quran says. They talk as if they do, but they've not read it. It is a fascinating book to read. And frankly, we need to get conversed enough so that we should be looking, not just, well, I hope I don't meet one. No, we should be looking for opportunities to meet and make relationships and talk to them. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only hope for all humanity, for them included. They're headed to damnation for eternity without Christ. We are to be the messenger. We better wake up. Jesus and Muhammad, they parallel and they say Muhammad is greater. No, he isn't. Muhammad in his last days lined up 800 and beheaded them after they had dug their own grave, historically recorded. That is why ISIS leader over in Iraq lined up 800 and then shot them with, had them dig their grave and then shot them with automatic rifles because he was paralleling, modeling Muhammad. Sweet religion. Allah, the Allah of the Quran, I'll tell you what, I choose Yahweh. I choose our God every single time. Our God is great and powerful and true and honest and loving and caring. All of those things. The kingdom of God versus the caliphate. Nobody in here wants to live under the caliphate. I'll tell you, you ought to read about what it would be like. You really should. If you would started reading right now, you would start to say, you know what? I think we got to do some things here. This is a serious problem. Women in the Bible versus women in the Quran. Stunning. The difference. Peace in Christianity versus violence in Islam. They are to know us by our love. We are to know them by fear that they're going to behead us. And that is their mission. And that's what they're about doing. That's why they put out the call to have radicals just pick someone off and cut their head off. Because it furthers the cause of Muhammad. The relevance of Christianity. Christianity is the one place to find peace and purpose for a group of people, a culture, a city, a country, a world. Islam is surely not. I put up Ephesians chapter 6 to remind us of what's really going on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a phenomenal spiritual battle right now. Every one of us as a believer should recognize that and get over ourselves. This is no time to say I'm too tired to pay attention. This is no time to say I'm too tired to read my Bible. This is no time to say I can't memorize Scripture. I would strongly, in the strongest sense, urge you. We are on the dawn of some very difficult days. And you'd be extremely wise to be preparing as a soldier going into battle. I'm going to read Romans. All I can do is read chapter 12, 14 through 21. I'll just read it very quickly. I'm going to talk. It's an interesting part of talking about how we ought to respond when things are coming at us. It says in 13 that government handles the sword, so we'll rely on our government to implement vengeance in an appropriate way because it's an instrument of God. That's what chapter 13, 1 through 7 says. But for us as individuals, we need to make sure we understand if somebody comes at us, we are to be manifesting the love of Christ towards them. And that is supposed to distinguish us such that it will draw others and say, you know what, I really want that more than that. I'll read it very quickly. In this passage, there are several imperatives, but I chose the four negative comments that are said. It's interesting that there were four negative statements that kind of capsulize everything, and it has a negative and a positive together. You'll see it as we read it. Bless them who persecute you, bless and curse not. Both of those, bless and bless, are both imperatives. Bless, bless, be a blessing. Bless other people and don't curse. Don't swear at them. Don't rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do not be wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. If they come at and do something wicked, don't do something wicked back to them. Now, in the flesh, I'm telling you, that's, I talk about something, I'm telling you to get ready. I'm getting ready by going over this in my mind over and over and over again. I cannot respond in the flesh. Because that is not what God is calling for. We are not to respond evil on evil. Instead, we're supposed to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We are to be characterized, even in the midst of very turbulent situations, with peace. Just like our Savior did, by the way. Now, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now notice, there's two things in regards to this, revenge not. The first one, this is the only one that has a dual response. The first one is, don't take revenge because God's going to do it. Let God do it. Then notice what it goes on to say. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. The feed and to give him drink are commands. Now, isn't that stunning? Isn't that the way our God would do it differently? Now, honestly, is that the way you would feel if somebody did something really horrible to you? Or did something really horrible to somebody you love? But that's what the Word of God, and I'm telling you, you're going to have to be praying like I am praying that God would give me the strength to respond the way He's challenging it to. Because this is not what you'll do in the flesh. If you go in automatic pilot, this is not what you're going to do. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not curse, but bless. Do not repay evil for evil, but be kind to them. Do not avenge yourself, but give them a drink. And give them some water, some food. And do not be overcome by evil. Boy, I tell you what. I would just flip if I saw somebody taking a knife to another person. I'm serious. The stunning wickedness of it. It really is some tension here. Obviously, we do everything we can to protect every other person that we could and sacrifice ourselves, and I think God would be pleased with that. But I am very mindful of something that happened to me before I was I was a teenager. I was not saved. I wasn't saved for another 10 years. A young boy, not a young boy, he was a year older than I was, pulled a knife on me. And tried to get me because he thought I was arrogant. And the truth is, I probably was arrogant. But that was no real good reason to be pulling a knife on someone. I happened to be able, by God's grace, to take the knife away from him. And I threw the knife away. I wasn't going to stab him or anything. But I had him down on the ground, and I was beating him. Then all of a sudden it hit. I can't do this. And I stopped. I different times, I don't think about that very often, but when I do, I remember that moment. It was before I knew the Lord, and I could have spent the rest of my life in prison. But God, in His mercy, said, don't do that. We need to be prayed up for the days ahead of us. I don't think it bodes well. Are we ready? Where are you in your walk with Jesus? Where are you in your commitment to be the witness that Jesus is calling for us to be? We are to go in all the world and preach the gospel. Look at the Apostle Paul. What happened to him? Was he warmly received? No. He was beat. He was stoned. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. And he would get up and go back into the town. Not to pulverize anybody, but to keep talking to them about Jesus. That's power, isn't it? That is real power. There's a beauty in that. I am reminded that in all of this, we really need to be on guard and not allow the strongholds to stand. We need to prepare ourselves to engage with others. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down the strongholds. That's the word of God and prayer. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness, that's compassion, gentleness, and with a reverence, a fear, knowing how significant the message is. You know, the day to say, you know, and I'm a little embarrassed, I don't know if I could talk to him. What if my neighbor wouldn't think so much of me if I talked to him about Jesus? If that is where you're at, get over yourself. The time is long since gone now. We need to stand up and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to start getting into practice of it right now in a very bold way, so that we will have it well engraved when they tell us we can't do it anymore and we can keep right on doing it. And just trust Jesus for his protection. Heavenly Father, thank you. You are a great God. It is such a blessing to be on your team. Help us, Lord, help us to be bold witnesses. Help us not to be cowardly. Help us to be part of the revival of genuine first century bold witness for you. May we be ever mindful of our responsibility because of what you have done for us, because of your mercies you have shared with us. You have saved our soul, that we would tell everybody that we come in contact with about Jesus. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.